Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, Making Life Work, with a message titled, How to Live a Life God Can Bless. Now here's Pastor Ray. Now
let's look into the book of Proverbs. Again, we started this series last week. Today, we are going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, if you want to find that. Just another announcement to you, and I forgot to mention this a moment ago, but this past week, Pastor Alan Hamilton, who was a well-known pastor in our community with the Portland Foursquare Church, and recently has been connected to he and his wife Joan with our church as well, went to be with Jesus, and the memorial service for him is tomorrow as well. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. By the way, we have a lot of talented people in this church, and I know you think you're one of them, and you probably are, but we have some amazing writers, and some of you are posting devotional blogs, and I enjoy some of those. And so one of these blogs is written by Mary Dennison, who's one of the incredible volunteers in our church, and so she wrote a blog a couple of weeks ago on Proverbs, announcing that I in her church and her pastor was starting the series, and she put up some Proverbs from kids. So a teacher asked these kids to fill in the blank on these Proverbs. And these aren't necessarily biblical proverbs. They're just wise sayings in our culture. And I want to read a few of them for you. And the first one of these was, it's better to be safe than, and you would say it's better to be safe than sorry. But these kids said it's better to be safe than punch a fifth grader. Here's when it's always darkest before daylight savings time, according to these kids. Don't bite the hand that, no, don't bite the hand that looks dirty. That's very good advice. You can't teach an old dog new math. If you lie down with dogs, no, well, that's true, but you stink in the morning. Where there's smoke, there's pollution. A penny saved is not much. Children should be seen and not spanked. I wish I would have known that one. Okay, here's one for Valentine's Day. A miss is as good as a... That's not quite as familiar to you. A miss is as good as a mister. A miss is as good as a mister. Wise sayings from these kids. Well, you know, one of the strongest and the most enduring human desires is the craving for divine blessing. I mean, it's in every culture, it's in every age, it is just absolutely universal. People want God's blessing, even people that don't know the Lord. I mean, it's always humorous to me to find people that obviously don't really walk with God. You know, we see some of those in the political landscape these days in the debates and things like that. People that obviously aren't really walking in a close relationship with God, even people that deny his existence will say things like, well, God bless you. You know, the Lord bless you, it's just amazing. And the reason for that is that God has implanted deep within the human DNA this craving for divine blessing. God made us that way. St. Augustine said that God has created in every human being a God-shaped vacuum that, guess what, only God can fill. And when we are in community with God, which is what he originally created us for, close community with him, the fruit of that is divine blessing. Blessing flows. But because of sin entering the human race through Adam and Eve, sin infected all human DNA, the flow of blessing was interrupted. And so our challenge is, what can we do to come back into and release the flow of divine blessing in our lives? We all desire it. How do we release the flow of God's blessing? How do we live the blessable life? Well, the most practical wisdom that I think that is found anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in all of the library of human language is found right here in Proverbs chapter 3. And so we're going to talk about that today, how to live a blessable life. We're going to begin in verse 1, Proverbs 3:1. And I'm only going to have time, if that, to get down through about verse 10. But I would challenge you, maybe one of the next steps for you is to do a study on your own and go through the rest of this chapter and just list out the blessings that come from being in close community with God. There's probably 15 or 20 of these, and I only have time for a few this morning. So we're going to begin with verse 1. And so the scripture is going to be on the screen. And I want you to just read this aloud with me. Every voice, my child, remember my teachings and instructions and obey them completely. Obey them completely. Turn to somebody and say, in the Hebrew, the word completely means completely. That's what it means, completely. Obey my teachings and instructions completely. Now, you're going to see that word completely reappearing in a variety of forms throughout this chapter, and especially in the next 9 verses that we're going to look at this morning. And it reappears because it's just a basic element on the periodic table of divine blessing. Complete obedience is an essential chemistry to a completely blessable life. Let me say that again. The essential chemistry to a completely blessable life is complete obedience. That's it. That's the core of what I want to talk about today. We could actually go home right now and save some time. But you pay me by the word, so I'm going to talk on until I can't talk any longer. And just so that we're clear, verse 1 defines for us what complete obedience is. Let me give you the definition. It is to stay persistently alert to scriptural values. That's where Solomon wrote that we are to completely understand, that we're to completely embrace the teachings and the instructions of the Lord, to stay persistently alert to scriptural values, and then to purposely integrate them into daily life. And he says we're to obey them, we're to completely obey them. Now, before you sink into hopelessness about your own track record of complete obedience or the lack thereof, let me just clarify that we're not talking so much about perfection as much as we're talking about diligence. Because who of us is perfect in our complete obedience to God? You know, no Hall of Fame baseball player bats 1,000, gets a hit every time he's up to the plate. In fact, in baseball, if over a 10-year career, you could get 1 out of 3 hits, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. So we're not talking about perfection as much as diligence. Completely here doesn't mean absolute flawlessness as much as it refers to persistent effort. And aren't you glad for that? I'm not flawless, I'm not perfect, but I can give persistent effort to walk in complete obedience to the teachings and the instructions of the Lord. Now, as we persistently effort the integration of godly values in daily life, chapter 3 of Proverbs, chapter 3 says that we will be on the business end of at least 5 amazing benefits. They're more than that. They're, as I said, about 15 or 20, but I want to just talk about 5 amazing benefits of walking in persistent effort to integrate biblical values in our daily life. So let's jump right into them. The first one is this. Number 1 is the blessing of longevity and prosperity. If you're taking notes, write that down. It's the blessing of longevity and prosperity. Verse 2 says, they will help you to live a long and prosperous life. You thought that came from Mr. Spock, didn't you? Live long and prosper, you Star Trek fans. Apparently not a lot of them in here right now. But it came from Solomon, not Spock, Solomon. Live long and prosper. Now, does that mean that you will live to be 100 years old? Well, probably not. I mean, I think it really means this, that the years that you do have, however long those are, and we've all have seen in our church, in our fellowship, those that we thought went to be with Jesus way before their time. But what this means is the years that God has allotted to you, however long and short those are, will be full of life. Not fullness of years, but full of life within those years. They will be productive, and they will be satisfying. This talks about prosperity. Does that mean that all of us, if we completely obey the Lord, will be a millionaire or a billionaire or a gazillionaire? Well, I hope so, and I hope you tithe on it. But probably not. But here's what it does mean. It does mean that you will have more than enough. That's what the Bible means by abundance. Jesus came to give us the abundant life, and biblical abundance simply means that you will have more than enough. I love what Proverbs 10:22 says. I think it says it best. It says, God's blessings makes life rich. What is a rich life? Is it money? Is it longevity? It's more than that. God's blessings. What are God's blessings? Again, the rest of chapter 3 will give you a great picture of what the blessings of the Lord looks like in our lives. God's blessing makes life rich. Nothing we can do, nothing we do can improve upon God. He makes our life rich with his blessings. Number two, the blessing of divine approval and human admiration come from complete obedience. The blessing of divine approval and human admiration. Verses 3 and 4 say, let love and loyalty always show like a necklace. Write them in your mind. Write them on the tablet of your mind. In other words, our love and our fidelity to God and to one another ought to show from our lives. That ought to be like a necklace that's hanging around our neck. You can't avoid it. It's there. People see it. Why is it there? Because first of all, we've written it in the tablet of our minds. It's internal. When it's internal, then it will become external. And then it says, when you do that, then God and man will like you. It's nice to be liked by God, isn't it? And it's not bad to be liked by man either. And consider you a success, not a bad benefit of complete obedience. Best of all, we get God's approval, and the icing on the cake is we also can get man's, we'll have man's admiration as well. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, even our enemies are at peace with us when our lives please the Lord. I like that. You know, we all, from time to time in our lives, we all develop enemies, people that just don't like us. But the Bible says when we live in complete obedience to God, he will make even those who don't like us to be at peace with us. Blessing number three, it's the blessing of divine direction for daily decisions. I want to spend a little bit more time on this one. The blessing of divine direction for daily decisions. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably the most famous proverb in all of this book, says this. I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Version of the Bible in case you're wondering where this came from. It says, with all your heart, there's that word again, all, everything, complete. With all your heart, trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Always, there it is again, always let him lead you and he will clear the road for you to follow. What a benefit. I mean, think about this. You have been given a divine life coach to see you through your daily journey. A divine life coach. If your reliance is not on others, it says you must trust the Lord first. If your reliance is not on your feelings, not on your emotions, it says submit your heart, the seat of emotions, submit your heart to him, not on powers of reasoning. You subjugate, the verse says, you subjugate your own judgment to him. Verse 6 says, you are to do that and always let him lead you. In other words, he will always lead you where you need to go when your reliance is totally on him. Does that mean that you shouldn't trust others? That you shouldn't consider your emotions, that you shouldn't use your powers of reasoning? I'm not saying that at all. God gave us a brain. He gave us the ability to reason. We ought to use that every once in a while. He gave us friends to speak into our lives. Other proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. We have emotions that serve as kind of a check engine light, a check engine oil, in our lives. And so we need to pay attention to those. But those need to be subjugated to always letting the Lord lead us first. When we let the Lord lead us, when we're relying on him, he will clearly reveal his will to us. Now, the question I would be asking if I was you is, how do you let him lead you? How do you discern the will of God for your life? Well, as I see it, as I understand Scripture, and as I've practiced it in my life, I believe that God has given us five guiding lights to discern the path before us. Five guiding lights that enable us to understand what the will of the Lord is for this decision that I'm making. Let me give those to you. The first guiding light is this. It is the teaching of Scripture in its entirety. You don't cherry pick verses here and there. You don't just flip open your Bible and say, oh, wow, this is what the Lord's calling me to do. But as we talked about last week, when you're in the Word of God on a daily basis, it's going to be amazing to you how much of that comes back out when you're trying to discern the will of the Lord for your life. That's the first guiding light, and I think it has to be the priority of our lives. We've got to be in the Word of God, absorbing the entire counsel of Scripture. Because out of that, that is the basis from which we discern the other aspects or the other nuances of the will of the Lord. The second guiding light is the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit through prayer. We read the Word of God, and then we pray. We include the Word of God in our prayer time, and we begin to discern these promptings within us. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm not going to be with you anymore, but I'm going to be in every single one of you through the Holy Spirit, who will be your counselor and your guide. And the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. He wants to bring out the Word of God that we've been absorbing as we take time to pray and allow Him to prompt us with what His will is. The third guiding light is the God-shaped circumstances of our lives. As we are paying attention to what's going on around us, we're praying for the will of God, we're discerning from the Word and through prayer, what is your will, God will begin to reveal through circumstances what His will is. Doors are opening, doors are closing. We look with a discerning eye at the circumstances of our lives. Is God working there? Do we discern God's activity there? Then we know that He's calling us to join Him there. The fourth guiding light is the godly counsel of wise people. God put other people in our lives. He put the church in our lives for a reason, that we would be in accountable, helpful relationships with other people that could speak into, and we would ask them to speak into our lives to help us to discern God's will. And then the fifth guiding light is congruity with God's unique design for my life. God's unique design for my life. Now, let me just explain that one a little bit, because it would be very easy for us to, having done all the first four of those to discern God's will, to miss it on this last one. You know, maybe I've opened the Word of God and I'm looking in there and it talks about making a joyful noise, singing your praise to the Lord. Perhaps some of you, I'm praying about that. I'm kind of feeling a prompting. Some of you say, you know, Pastor Ray, it would be great if you would start singing more in the church. You could have a real ministry. It would heighten your preaching abilities if you would also sing. And I could go, well, I like to sing. Maybe God is opening the door for me to sing. Well, that would be, I'm telling you, that would be incongruent with God's path for my life. And I'll tell you how I know that. I tried that once. When Lynn and I first got married, I didn't know I was going to be in ministry, but I was serving on the staff of a church, and we got invited in that season of time. We got invited to my hometown. They knew that I was going to be, that I was a pastor. I got invited back to my hometown to hold a citywide youth crusade, several nights of speaking to the youth of that city. And so we went down there, and I thought, you know, pastors not only preach, but they have to sing as well. And Linda played the piano, and she was musical, and so we worked on a song. I said, we've got to do a duet. And so we got down to this, my hometown, and there was one of the services, and we found an accompanist, so Linda didn't have to, so we sang a duet together. Remember what that was? Yeah. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, we sang a hymn. How could that go wrong? So we're singing away, and we're newly married, and as we're singing, standing beside each other, Linda starts pinching me on the rear end. I'm going, why? I know we're newlyweds, but this is not the appropriate time, right, for this. Might have been Valentine's Day, I don't know, but anyway. And so after the service, and I preached, and after the service, we're out to lunch. I said, what in the world were you doing? That was inappropriate. She said, well, you were so off key, I thought if I pinched you, you would raise it a notch. And maybe. And I thought, okay, this is not my glide path. This is not God's design for me. So I have to consider all of these things to figure out what is God's will for my life. Listen, when those five things, listen to this, when those five things come into alignment, you can be sure that He will clear the path for you to follow. Now, what's so cool about this blessing is that when we are completely obeying God in this area, it says that He will take responsibility for clearing the path for you. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to bust open doors. You don't have to make it happen. God Himself takes responsibility to lay out the path, to lay out His will for you to follow. Listen, if you struggle, some people do, if you struggle in knowing God's will, I hear that all the time. Oh, I just can't figure out God's will for my life. I just don't know God's will in this situation for me. If you struggle perpetually with knowing God's will, it's not on Him. It's on you. Because he wants, and he has made it clear that he wants to be the divine mentor in your life. David said in Psalm 31, verse 3, "For your name's sake," he's talking to God, "for your name's sake, you lead me and you guide me." You know, God doesn't want you to embarrass him by stepping out of his will. So he leads you and he guides you. That's what he wants to do for you. So ask him, listen to him, and let him. He has given a clear path for discerning his will. Blessing number 4. The blessing of God guarantees good health. The blessing of God guarantees good health for you. Verses 7 and 8, don't ever think you're wise enough, but respect God and avoid evil. Then notice, this will make you healthy and you'll feel strong. Now that ties back to the previous verses on discerning the Lord's guidance. And if we were to follow the Lord's will in everything, probably it would keep us out of some bad habits and some practices that contribute to bad physical health in our lives. When you completely trust God, listen to this, to direct the daily decisions of your life, God takes responsibility for your life, even for your health. He will see to it that you're lean and mean with a healthy sheen. You think I'm kidding, don't you? This verse 8 in the Message says it this way: your body will glow with health and your bones will vibrate with life. Yeah, God himself takes responsibility to give you health. He really does. Now, I know that we could all point to people that have gone off into bad health for reasons that weren't their own, and I don't get all of that, but what I do know is this, that if we will completely obey the Lord, follow his instructions, integrate his teachings into our lives, he will give us a life, however long it is, that is full of satisfaction. And then when we die, he gives us eternal life. He's responsible for that for us. And then blessing number five is the blessing of financial growth and material abundance. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord by giving him your money and the first part of all your crops. In the Old Testament, that phrase, the first part, referred to the first fruits or the first tenth of what was produced and all that was possessed. Today we call it the tithe, which mostly refers to the income that we make, the first part, the best part, the tenth, the first tenth of that. Back then, tithing acknowledged very practically, very powerfully, God's ownership and God's authority over everything that one had, including their finances, their money, and their possessions. Back then, that's what it indicated. Guess what? It still indicates that today. Tithing indicates that we get it, that God owns everything that we have. He is the giver of everything that we have. And your generous giving, your faithful, consistent, generous giving reveals, listen to this, it reveals your completeness of obedience. Your generous giving reveals the degree to which you are completely obeying God. And not only does it reveal that, but it releases God's blessing upon your life, his generosity back to you. Verse 9 says that it paves the path for you to literally honor the Lord. And then verse 10 says that same path returns the flow of God's provision for you. It says, then he will fill your barns with grain. That's a picture of adequate supply. He will make sure that you're adequately supplied and that your vats will overflow. That's abundant provision. Your vats will overflow with good wine. Commit to honoring God with your wealth. Commit to honoring God with your wealth, whatever that is, and you will never have to raise your debt ceiling. You will never need a bailout. You will always be a lender and never a borrower. That is God's promise, not mine. And that's the benefits package of going totally with God in your finances, in your health, and seeking his direction, in whatever area, when you go totally with God, he says, I will release my flow of blessing into your life. Out of time. I hate that. I want to give you a summary observation about this first passage. A couple of summary observations. And then, if we can, we'll do a quick Q&A time. So first of all, these commands that we've talked about, that we've looked at, are all-inclusive and non-negotiable. When you look at this, do you notice any wiggle room with these things? Did he say that we can partially and selectively obey his instructions when we like and what we like about him? We can obey it, but if we don't, you know, all bets are off. Does it say that with most of our heart, we're to trust him? We're to seek his guidance? We're to follow his will when we like it, when it's convenient for us? No, not at all. Did it say that we're to tithe? We're to give when we feel like it, when we have enough money left over after we've done what we like and purchase what we need? No. Again, the words completely, always, all are essential chemistry to the blessable life. Do you get that? Complete obedience is the essential chemistry of a blessable life. God wants you to understand that your total trust and your total obedience before him catalyzes his blessing. You want to live a blessable life? You want to have a blessable life? Obey God. Obey God completely. Then secondly, God's command require obedience. We've been talking about that. But remember, we've been talking about this as well, but remember this. Remember the fruit of obedience. They release a blessing. God tells us that if we obey, then he will bless us. I think we get that backwards sometimes. We say, God, if you bless me, then I will obey. God, I will give if you give to me some resources. You know, God, I will follow your will if you show me clearly what it means. God, if you reveal your will, if you reveal your word to me, then I will obey it. God says, you trust me. You step out in faith. You obey me. And as you do, I will pour out abundant blessing upon your life. That's just the way God rolls. It's the 100% pattern of Scripture. So if you don't like it, take it up with God. But it's just throughout Scripture is how God leads his people into blessing. It's the essence of faith. You trust, God reveals. You give, God releases. You obey, God blesses. And so I would just say to you, when it comes to trusting God, try him. He can't fail. Try him. He won't fail. God himself says in Isaiah 49, verse 23, he says, listen to this. He says, those who trust in me will never be put to shame. That's a great promise. Try him. You will never, ever be put to shame. Obey him completely because he longs to bless you completely.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.